I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of The Memo for this Wednesday, September 14th. I'm Brad Locke. Thanks for joining us. W. Derek Russell is not with us. He is busy. So instead of Derek, we have...
Hi, I'm Scott Morris. I'm here to reduce the quality of the show.
M. Scott Morris. I thought you were here to make the podcast great again, Scott.
No, that's only when I'm on the other chair. Over here, I'm like too nervous. There's so much expectations to be a co-host.
It's not like Derek set the bar that high.
Well, you and Chris have this. You guys are like the way you look. You have these little hand signals. You're going back and forth. I have no idea what all that means. It's like watching a pitcher, first third base coach talking to the pitcher or something, or the whatever.
Chris, give me the throat slash.
Oh yeah.
Turn off.
Yeah, I think my mic just got turned off.
Nah, I did. Now it's back on.
Fantastic.
Anyway, thanks for filling in, Scott.
Well, I'm happy to do it. I can put off other work while I do this.
I wish I could put off other work. I guess I am putting off other work that I don't need to put
the
off.
The deadline is the same. It's just later before I start it.
Right. So,
but Chris begged, and so here I am.
Have you not co-hosted before?
Years ago.
Years ago. We've been on the air a year.
I haven't been invited. I think it was 1978 when I was on here last. And I must have said something wrong.
That's about the last time they had Mantachie Fest.
Mantachie Fest. Oh, inside joke. Anyway.
From the Chiefer.
Well, we have a story about Mantachie Fest. We got a lot of stories in the journal because it's Wednesday. Wednesday tends to be the...
Wednesday's packed because...
Wednesday's always packed.
A lot of the grocery stores have their ads, so that's the business side of things. So people want to get their ads, do their weekend shopping and all.
We got a lot of pages to fill. So we
put more stuff in because we have more room.
We do, which is nice. So, yeah.
I don't have anything in today's paper, I don't think. Tomorrow, really? Though, I got stuff.
What have you been doing?
You know? People ask that all the time.
What do you do here exactly?
I come in. Well, there was 1978 when I was on The Memo, and then really not much since then.
The Memo, the very first podcast ever. We were ahead of our time.
It was on a little cassette tape.
I was 2 years old.
And what we did was just pass the cassette tape around at school.
I actually used to do something like that when I was a kid. Me and my sisters, we had this old tape player, you know, the rectangular, big rectangular mm-hmm. one.
Yeah.
Pop a tape in there and record and just... say stupid things into it and then play it back because it was like the most amazing thing.
Voices
back.
But even then, though, I was like, I can't believe I sound like that. And I know that's kind of like cliche to say, but from the very beginning, from the very first time, I mean, I remember I was like, I must have been something like four. Dad brought one home and from work, and I remember like being able to play with it a little bit and thinking, even then, my goodness, Mr. Morris, you sound horrible.
That's
my fourth grade voice.
I still think that about
myself. 4 year old voice.
I still think that about myself today. I don't like listening to the podcast or watching my webcast or on the replay because I don't like to.
You know, if you got some jests for men, you might like the watching yourself on TV better.
You saying I need to darken up the beard?
No, actually, I think it's distinction. Now that I think about it, I think
I like going gray.
I think gray hair makes you look more distinguished.
Well, I'm sure you would say that. You're pretty much all gray there, Scott. But it looks good on you.
You know, my grandmother, she dyed her hair almost all the time that I knew her. And she would have at times like this. She got old. She couldn't quite go as often. Yeah. She would have like a 1-inch line of white with the rest black. And I just kind of made my decisions. Again, 1978. Probably that same
big year.
It was a big year for me. I probably just made it. I'm never going to dye my hair. If it goes gray, it goes gray.
Me either.
I've regretted that decision at times, but here we are.
I like it. I mean, I've got gray on my temples and a little bit on the front of my, you know, just here and there. And then a little bit in my beard. I think it makes me look... more mature, so I can fool people.
That's right.
And you need all the help you can get in that category.
Yes.
You've got a wife, you got kids, you got a job. Who else are you trying to impress?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Okay. I mean, I still want to look good, but I think I look fine like this. It's fine.
And we're going to like encourage you in that illusion.
Yeah. I mean, I think the gray, like I said, it makes me look distinguished, so it feeds into my vanity, and I'm fine with it.
There you go. Perfect.
So, perfect. By the way, old ladies dyeing their hair, do they still dye it blue? Is that still a thing now? I don't see that so much anymore.
I thought, well, I don't know. I always thought the blue was some kind of variation of gray. Maybe it wasn't actually blue. It's just if you put that much hairspray on it looks blue through the prism of all that hairspray.
Yeah.
I don't know if old ladies wear hairspray like they once did. I mean, I remember having to walk through a house and you walk through a cloud of that stuff every now and then and just kind of like all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I got your asthma diagnosis right here.
Yeah, I don't seem to see that as much. But anyway, hey, we need to tell people what we got on the show today. We've got Emma Crawford. I did it again. Emma Kent. She's been married almost a year. Still can't get it right. Emma Kent's on to talk about this mentoring program at Mississippi State. Zach Orsborn going to talk about this cool thing the Downtown Association doing
Tupelo Ale Trail.
It involves craft beer. I'm there. Okay. We got Jenna Parsons coming on to talk about food.
She's one of my favorites.
Oh, I know she is. Y'all are best buds. Anyway, hey, and by the way, today's show is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods, formerly known as Palmer's. The locally owned grocery store still offers high quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. So visit Shoppers Value Foods on East Main. Well, Scott, you and I have a show to do.
I'm excited about this. I won't let you down, sir.
All right. Well, let's get to it then. All right, let's welcome Emma Kent into the show. Emma, I messed up your name earlier during the intro. I called you Emma Crawford again.
Never fails.
You know, if he didn't say that, I was going to say it. Cause I was going to out him, but he did it himself, so that was good.
You've been married like 11 months, and I still want to call you Emma Crawford.
It's okay, Brad. You're old, you know?
Wow.
As the beard can attest.
Not as old as this guy next to me, okay?
Yeah, well. I'm more seasoned at this point.
More seasoned. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Brad, you're not that old. I'm sorry.
I am 40, Emma. Compared to you, I'm old. You're like 20, 22.
I'm 23, Brad.
She's 23?
Wow. I called her a child once, and the face she gave me, I apologized quickly afterward. But from where I'm sitting on the backside of 40, like you're all children.
These young reporters grow up so fast. 23. Wow.
Where does time go?
I don't know, Chris.
But she's got to earn a living somehow, so she's doing it.
Yeah, she does, and she's doing a good job. And you had a story, Emma, the yesterday. Today's the 14th. Yeah, story was yesterday.
When you get old, the memory goes.
The first thing to go is the memory, Emma. Just look forward to that.
I forgot what
years.
The second thing is.
Nah. Nice.
Old people jokes.
Oh, I got dad jokes.
That's all we got
all day long. Mm. I'm a big fan.
Go
of the
for it.
Big fan of the dad jokes. So
do you know how to cook peas, Emma?
I don't.
Okay, okay.
My daughter Trinity loves the dad jokes.
Well, I mean, I guess, I don't know. Was that a joke?
We were talking about peas today. Well, actually, later on, we talked about peas. But this, because this interview is first, as far as people know.
Did I mess something up? This is my first time back since 1978, and this is why.
Emma has no idea what's going on.
No, I don't.
Hey, Emma, I got a knock-knock joke.
Is this a dad joke?
I guess it could be, kind of.
Okay.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Two.
To who?
It's to whom.
That's a grammar joke.
It's more of a grammar joke.
That's good, though.
Yeah. I think I stole that from... Did I get that from Derek?
Yeah, he said it the other day.
I stole it from Derek. He's not here. Stealing your jokes, Derek, just like Amy Schumer.
My favorite one, if I have a moment, we can cut this out, but my favorite one, not knock joke, was when my kids were the right age, this slayed them. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Panther.
Panther who?
Pants or no pants, I'm going swimming.
That's
terrible.
Yeah.
I can see why they would find it funny at a certain age.
Okay, hold on. While we're talking about jokes, I have to show you.
Emma's got jokes now.
No, there's this Twitter account, and it's called Kids Tell Jokes.
Kids Tell Jokes. Is that the name of it?
That's when I was at camp back in 1978. That's what we did.
You probably were in camp in 1978, weren't you?
I think I might well have been. Yeah.
Kids write jokes. Okay.
Kids write jokes. Give us a quick one here.
Let me find a good one. Okay. Why do bees have black stripes?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why?
They live in the dark.
Why do bees have black stripes? Is that racist? What? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, these are kids writing jokes. Okay.
These are like jokes that kids
These are the kind of jokes my son would try to tell when he was younger. He's 12 now. When he was like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old.
He would try to
tell us these jokes that he thought were hilarious. And I'm like, son, they don't make any sense.
But then, they're not goofy. They're surreal.
What do you call the strongest vegetable?
I don't know.
Muscles.
Muscles. Pretty good.
When does chicken cross the road?
I don't know.
When the road is clean.
The road is clean.
Well, it looks both ways.
Why do monkeys eat bananas?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Because bananas are not afraid.
What?
You know what? This is the Salvador Dali.
It's a great joke.
Like Scott said, these are some surreal jokes. Really, kind of. I think they might be kind of philosophically
deep. They're just over
deep.
Your head.
You know what? It's not out of the box thinking. There's not even a box.
It's too highbrow for me, Emma. Okay.
Okay, right. Let's talk about this story.
About stuff. Yes, Mississippi State University has this mentoring program. It's called the Executive in Residence. It's a program at MSU's Center for Economic Outreach. Basically, students are going to give them a chance to kind of get some hands-on experience or advice or what have you with people who've been there and done that. Like for instance, Glenn McCullough, who is going to be the first EIR in residence, the first executive in residence. I almost said EIR in residence. That'd be redundant. He's going to be the first executive in residence. Former mayor of Tupelo. He's now the, what's his position? Mississippi Development Authority executive director. So tell us a little bit about what they're hoping to accomplish with this program.
They're just really hoping to give students, and not just business students, I guess. At first when I heard about it, I thought, oh, this is just for kids who are in the College of Business. But it's for anybody on campus who is a budding entrepreneur, who maybe, has a business idea or wants to go into business after they graduate. And so basically they're just going to have executives come in and they'll have an office and they'll have office hours and students can go and sign up for a time slot. They'll be sharing their ideas with these executives and then getting feedback and kind of just asking them questions about business. Really just trying to learn from people who, like you said, have been in the business or in the business of business, I guess.
Yeah. And you talked to one kid, Michael Lane. He's a mechanical engineering major from Amory.
Mm-hmm.
And he's actually started his own company, a solutions management group called MakerSync. I don't even know what that means, solutions management group. He's obviously smarter than I am. But he's going to have a sit down with Glenn McCullough, I think, today. And just, pick his brain, I guess. And that's the kind of thing that, a lot of students don't get the opportunity to do.
Yeah. And I think, they'll get some real world perspective. When you're in college,
It's all theoretical,
and then it's also like you don't know what it's really like.
It doesn't seem as tangible sometimes in college. It's just like, this is how it is, but you don't really know. Like when I was in college, I learned some stuff, but once I actually started working for a newspaper, it's a lot different.
Yeah.
Okay, college is important, but there's only so much you can learn in a classroom. Doing the stuff is, at least for me, is what really helped me. But anyway, so they're going to have some other – they've already got some other people lined up. George Bryan, Jeffrey Carter, who's a president and CEO of Hyperion Technologies here in Tupelo. I think people know who George Bryan is down in West Point. So.
Can I jump in for a second? Is it going to be like an ongoing thing? Can these guys like keep coming back and seeing these guys over time with questions? Or is it kind of a one-off kind of thing?
It's kind of – well – they can come each time there's a different person, but like Glenn McCullough is only going to be there today for like the whole day, and he's going to have office hours for the day and then the kids can come in, but he's not going to be there for like a week or like for a certain, a length of time. So, they can come in on the day that they're there and it kind of depends on their schedules too. Cause I'm sure they're busy people. So,
gotcha.
So it's kind of, when they're there, you go see them, but they won't be there for really long periods of time.
Well, they got some pretty big names. Glenn McCullough, like I said, we talked about again. George Bryan, Jeffrey Carter. So they've this is going to be. It looks like the business community is really bought into this.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm sure that they see value in sharing their experiences with young people, and then those young people hopefully are the next generation, and so they're kind of giving back in that way. So I think all around something that they're excited about.
I want to talk about this Michael Lane kid for a second. This company he made called MakerSync.
Mm-hmm.
What he's trying to do is trying to solve problems facing the factory, which I don't know what that is, but you do. You went to school there, Emma. What is the factory?
Well, it wasn't there when I was there.
So it's new. Huh.
Apparently, okay, so there's this new thing that I've just learned about this week, and they're called makerspaces.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what the heck is a makerspace?
So it's basically like if this room was like a dedicated place for us to come in and create things.
As opposed to it being the memo dungeon.
As opposed to it being the memo dungeon. Basically, it's like, so the one at Mississippi State is like a big space, basically a big like collaborative workspace. But they have resources there for students if they're working on, I don't know, inventing something. They've got like, I mean, I don't even know what you need to invent something, but they've got it.
Right.
And then apparently, I think you pay a fee, like a monthly fee, to be able to go in, use the space, use the resources there. And I was actually just at Rankin Elementary this morning, and they got a donation to create a makerspace in their media center.
Cool.
And so for the elementary kids, they're going to have, they're going to get a 3D printer, and they're going to have like Legos, like a Lego wall and a dry erase wall.
Nice.
And like iPads and little robots and stuff. They're going to like build robots.
Wow.
So basically they're just, you know, it's a place where you create things.
It's pretty cool.
And they call it a makerspace. But yeah, so his company, they were, they work with that space at Mississippi State to kind of help, I guess solve any problems or, you know, kind of help them manage, manage their thing that they do.
Cool. Well, good story, Emma. It was in a Tuesday's Journal. You can read it at djournal.com as well. Thank you, Emma Kent, for your time.
You're welcome.
Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com or catch the replay later in the day, and the podcast version drops in the afternoon. You can listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. It's just going to be me and Blake today with Gene on assignment, so give that a listen if you will. And also, if you're an Ole Miss or MSU sports fan, check out Double Coverage with Ole Miss beat writer Parrish Alford and MSU writer Logan Lowry. They release new episodes every Thursday afternoon, and they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
Hey, our own Brad Locke does Newsbreak for us. Wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's Newsbreak, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a five-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format. All right, well, Zach Osborne has just entered the memo dungeon here to talk about the new Tupelo Ale Trail. Good morning, Zach.
How's it going, Scott?
It's going fine.
Good.
They finally invited me back to co-host because it has been a while. I must have done something wrong last time.
It's about time.
I'm just saying, I was a little disappointed that it hadn't been asked back until now, but apparently needs must at this point.
You're desperate, Zach.
Okay. There's a desperate air in the memo dungeon today.
Well, it's good you're back.
So this ale trail, so people are going to be drinking beer and wandering around downtown Tupelo. When's that going to be?
The Tupelo Ale Trail starts September 29th. What it is, it's a progressive craft beer tasting festival. It's got 14 stops downtown with all the downtown vendors. And there's an after party at the Farmers Depot after everybody's made all their stops. And they're going to have live music, microbreweries, and food sponsored by Anthony's Pizza.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of filling a void, right? The entertainment gods took something away from Tupelo, and now downtown Main Street trying to give something back.
Yeah, the Tupelo Craft Beer Festival was supposed to happen this spring, but it never happened, according to Debbie Brengenberg. She's the director of DTMSA. So they used to have this thing called Hops and Stops, and because of the Tupelo Craft Beer, they kind of canceled that. But now they're bringing this, the Tupelo Ale Trail. It's kind of like Wine Downtown. They wanted something like that in the fall.
So Wine Downtown is a similar thing when you walk around town. Go. So the point of this thing, I guess, is to get people to go check out different downtown businesses, kind of perhaps maybe encourage someone to make a purchase, maybe not.
Yes.
But mainly, once you pay your fee, which is what?
It's $25.
So you pay your $25, and then you can just, are you going to carry your own cup with you to each stop, or how does that work?
They give you a Pilsner tasting glass.
Okay.
And you go to each stop, and each merchant will have a different sample, and you get to taste it. And this is one of the three progressive events that they have. They started this with Wine Downtown, and then they started the Progressive Picnic, and it's just a way for downtown merchants to reach out to different demographics and promote sales and stuff like that.
Right. You get to keep the glass when you're done?
I'm not sure. I think so.
Because I'm all about free stuff. I mean, if you can
free stuff is good.
I mean, because you're buying $25, but you're just buying the beer, or you're buying the glass too. We don't know. That's to be determined.
I should have asked that.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we can't ask everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But are you going?
I'm not a big beer fan, but I'll probably go to the Wine Downtown next year or this winter.
Did they tell you what kind of beer to anticipate? I saw Clark Distributing is sponsoring the thing.
Yeah, when I interviewed at the time, they hadn't got the whole list together.
They don't have quite the menu yet.
Right, but it's going to be 14 different types, I think.
And then when you get to the depot, are there going to be police officers there with breathalyzers?
Let's hope not, because lots of people are going to be arrested probably.
So let's walk downtown and then have a designated driver back home.
There you go.
All right, so maybe the taxi company should be alerted that day.
Yes, we'll just have taxis on hand.
Well, all right, Zach. Well, thanks for coming in, and I appreciate you filling us in about the Tupelo Ale Trail, because the other was the Hops and Stops, right?
Yes,
Hops. You did mention that they went with this because of the Elvis Presley Trail, trying to tie in a little bit.
Exactly. They just did a little wordplay on that.
All right. Well, so everybody's invited to walk around downtown and get smashed at different locations?
Yeah.
No.
As long as you're 21.
No. And we got to be 21.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the date is going to be Thursday, September 29th. The event's going to be from 5:30 to 10 p.m. Tickets are $25. They're available at the Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association office at 108 South Broadway Street. Also online at Eventbrite, and you'd have to search Tupelo Ale Trail. So for anybody who's interested, give it a try, and you can report back to us if you want. Thank you, Zach.
Thanks, Scott.
Be sure to watch the Daily Journal's Capitol View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capitol Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2016 legislative session is now over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol. Time now for today's news memo, and for more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Efforts have begun to give the Tupelo Convention and Visitors Bureau Center a facelift. Planned additions include more interactive exhibits and a comprehensive timeline of the region. CVB Director Neil McCoy said the goal is to ensure that CVB is a key touchpoint for tourists and other visitors to the city. The renovations are expected to cost between $500,000 and $600,000. The detailed timeline will trace the region's history from the time of the Chickasaw Indians through the Civil War, the early years of Elvis Presley, the civil rights struggle, and the modern era. There also are plans for more interactivity and for listening stations that will allow visitors to hear some musical traditions that inspired Elvis. The renovations are expected to be completed during the 2016-17 budget year.
The Rotary Club of Tupelo is launching a satellite club to remove a barrier to membership. The first Get to Know You meeting of the Rotary Satellite Club of Tupelo will be on Tuesday, September 20th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. on the patio at Fair Park Grill. In case of rain, it will move inside. The idea of creating a satellite club has been bouncing around for about a year. In addition to quarterly dues, Rotary members are expected to pay for their meals each Monday at the summit. For satellite club members, dues will continue to be $40.50 a quarter, but other fees are up for discussion. Club president Tom Booth said he expects the satellite club to be more service-based than meal-based, although that would be something for members to decide. Booth said the satellite club would be more flexible than Rotary Club of Tupelo, while still giving members a chance to contribute to the community. For more information, call 662-436-0555 or visit TupeloRotary.com.
Music icon Willie Nelson is set to perform live in concert at the Bancorp South Arena on Sunday, November 20th at 7 p.m. The award-winning music legend has released more than 200 albums in his six-decade career, in addition to being an author, actor, and activist. Tickets will go on sale Friday, September 16th at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster.com and the Arena Box Office. Reserved seating is available. Tickets will range from $46.50 to $86.50. For more information, call 662-841-6528 or visit bcsarena.com.
Tupelo High School students are taking more dual enrollment courses than ever. During the 2016-17 school year, 405 students are taking at least one dual credit class, up from 331 students last school year. And that number is expected to jump again later in the school year with the pending addition of a dual credit business calculus class. THS Principal Jason Harris said, while the business calculus course has not been officially added, it is likely that it will be. Dual credit courses, which are taught by Tupelo High teachers, are offered primarily through Itawamba Community College and Delta State University. Students earn both college credit at a fraction of the price and high school credit if they earn a C grade or above in the class. Dual credit courses offered at THS include college algebra, English Composition 1, American Literature, Anatomy and Physiology, British Literature, U.S. History 2, ROTC, and Spanish 1. A dual-credit Japanese course is also offered through the University of Mississippi and is taught by a UM instructor.
The city of Tupelo's top elected leaders will get a pay raise next year. The raise will impact city council members and the mayor and will go into effect in July 2017 when the new four-year terms for elected leaders begin. The city council approved the pay hike on Tuesday after it was publicly discussed. For the first time, the mayor's salary will rise from $92,242 to $105,000. The city council president's salary will rise from $19,932 to $23,000. Other council members will see their salaries increase from $16,932 to $20,000. Council members are considered part-time. Pay for elected leaders last went up during the 2005 to 2009 terms. The city council approved the latest pay raises on a 6-to-1 vote with only Ward 1 Councilman Mark Hill Whittington opposing it.
Today's show is sponsored by Shoppers Value Foods, a locally owned grocery store on East Main. The store recently changed its name from Palmer's, but the owners and the employees haven't changed. Damon Palmer and his brother Jason are the third generation owners of the East Tupelo grocery store that was founded in 1957. The Palmer brothers have teamed up with last year's Grocery Wholesaler of the Year and decided to go with their Cost Plus program. The store now sells its groceries 10% over cost. That has allowed it to add more variety, especially in the meat, produce, and dairy departments. Along with the name change came a refreshing of the interior, new signs, and better parking. Visit Shoppers Value Foods for high-quality selection, great customer service, and low prices. All right, it's Wednesday, and therefore time to talk with Jenna Parsons, our food editor. Today she's got a column in the food section about cheesy potatoes. So let me just ask you a question. I thought you and I had nothing in common, but I also share an affinity for cheese. I could give away a lot of stuff if I got to keep cheese.
Yes, I could eat cheese 3 meals a day. In fact, I had cheese toast this morning. I did.
When I was a kid, and I was a latchkey kid, and back when we knew anything, we knew nothing about nutrition, I would get a piece of bologna, and I would get a Kraft Singles, and I'd put that in, and I would microwave that until my bologna became a bowl for sizzling hot cheese.
Right.
And this probably explains why I am the way I am today.
Do you really say bologna?
Bologna?
I say bologna.
Bologna?
Yeah.
Actually, I used to say bologna. Bologna?
Well, that's the way it's spelled.
There we go. So you went looking for some hash brown recipes or some potato recipes, but it had to have cheese involved. And you came up with what?
An au gratin that I had never done before. I've done something that's got a fancy name. It's called a gratin dauphinois. That uses thinly sliced potatoes and a little bit of butter, but like 2 tablespoons of cheese. So,
doesn't even count.
No, it doesn't count. This has got a cup and a half of cheese.
There you go. Sharp cheddar, what do we have?
I used sharp cheddar and sliced the potatoes on a mandolin because that just makes it go a lot quicker.
Can you still play the mandolin afterwards?
I'm a banjo kind of girl.
Oh, okay. What is a mandolin? I'm serious. I read that. And I want to know what the heck that was. Is that like a...
It's a contraption. I don't know how to explain it. It looks like a washboard, and it's got a really, really sharp blade so that it actually comes with a guard so that you don't take the skin off your knuckles like I did on this finger because I wasn't using the guard.
I got you.
You just run the potato back and forth, and it makes paper-thin slices. You can do apples that way. You could do sweet potatoes, carrots. Yeah, okay.
I think I might have one. I just didn't know what it was called. I just called it the cutter slicer thing.
Right. Well, you may have one. They can be dangerous, but it makes quick work. To cut up 4 potatoes by hand would probably take 5 or 6 minutes, and on the mandolin it takes maybe 2.
And you get thin. That kind of matters with au gratin, doesn't it?
It does. It makes it cook quicker and more evenly.
There you go. And you made enough for everybody, and yet I'm here with 3 other people, and I don't see any au gratin.
Well, you know, I was thinking this morning, gosh, it's Wednesday, and I didn't make anything for the memo folks. But then if I had, then it would be, y'all would be like, who is this woman? Who is this woman that cooked for us? So I had to let you know real me.
We love this woman. We prefer this Jenna that brings food. That's what we would have been
you might have won like some newsroom award or something.
Well,
definitely a memo award, a podcast award.
We actually did have some of these leftover potatoes last night, and they were still really good.
My mouth is watering right now, and
that's just the cup and a half of cheese.
And then you also, on your front page of the food section today, have a cook of the week, Miss Bonnie Green. And she, listen, earlier today, it may be on tape, or we don't use tape, in some kind of digital form of my laughing at something Brad had said.
Roll the reel back, Chris. Reach over
but,
there.
But that was just like for a fact, because I was being recorded. The first genuine laugh I had today is a quote from Bonnie Green that I read today. You mind if I share it to you?
Go right ahead.
This is my oldest daughter likes to cook, but she wants to make fancy stuff. One day she called and said, Mother, how do you cook peas? And I thought to myself, cook peas? Where did I fall down as a mother? And that, I love that quote. I want to shout that quote from the rooftops. That's fantastic. So this is the lady who grew up in the shadow of the Depression.
Yes. And if they didn't have it or grow it, they didn't cook it. So they raised cows and pigs, and they had chickens, and they had a garden, but that wasn't sugar and that kind of thing to make sweets. So she just didn't have a lot of sweets growing up. And so as she got older, she really got interested in baking because it was new to her.
Right.
And I'm talking, this woman, she bakes up a storm. She made 2 pans of brownies the day that we went to interview her. One for her family, right, and one for us, which I brought back to the journal. And I had to call her a couple of days later to ask her a question. And she said, girl, you wouldn't believe how many pans of brownies I've made since you were here.
Well, you know, you can tell her brownies are healthy because they got walnuts on top of them.
Absolutely. And so nuts are good for you.
Those are good for you. And there's eggs in there. You know, it's all good. Eggs and walnuts. I mean, that's like a health food just about.
Right. And oil, I think probably canola oil, you know, you could use. And that's low in saturated fats.
And Miss Green here, though, she doesn't believe, she likes recipes, but she doesn't like to stick with recipes.
Right. She does. She puts her own little spin on things. She'll read a recipe and think how she can make it better or different. And, for instance, in her brownies, which is her signature dish, she uses a pouch from Sam's, and that's the only brownie mix that she'll use. I think she said it comes 4 pouches to a box. But then she goes a step further, and she adds 1/4 cup of chocolate chips or white chocolate chips or Heath Brickle Bar chips, butterscotch chips inside the brownie mix, and maybe even some nuts. And then, as though that's not enough, she tops them with nuts or M&Ms, or the ones that she made that she sent back to the journal had little Rolo candies melted on top.
Oh, so I had one of those. Okay. I had 2 of those. Oh. They were good.
So she's like a mad scientist of confections. Just trying, experimenting and trying things out.
She is, yes, very, very sweet woman.
Another thing I like about her is she may have done something that maybe no other woman in the history of womanhood has ever done.
What did she do?
She's gotten rid of a cookbook or 2.
Yes. I know, when she said that, it hurt my heart.
She said she had a bunch of them, but she got rid of some of them because she doesn't use them like she used to.
Right.
Well,
she doesn't need to. She knows what she's doing.
So I guess I'm going to turn down the next time they ask me to guest host on a Wednesday, because I've just spent all morning now with my mouth watering with all this food. What I want to have right now...
It's tough, man.
I want to have a big tub. I want a tub. I don't just want a bowl or a plate. I want a big tub of au gratin potatoes followed up by brownies with walnuts on top.
Now, Scott, you know we have health screenings coming up.
Well, I know. That's why I got water in my cup over here. It's been a hard, hard couple of weeks.
Right.
Thank you, Jenna, for coming in and sharing what you got in today's paper. And if you want to read, the recipes are available in today's food section. They're also available at djournal.com. And, I think there's some good eating to be done by people.
Absolutely.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for this episode of The Memo.
I don't know about the rest of you, but I think that new kid, them Scott Morris, did a fine job.
I think he did a fantastic job.
I think he
did
all right. I think he should be invited back sooner than like 30-something years from now.
What do you think, Podgator? Should he come back? Did he do a good enough job? Squeak once for yes, two for no. Ooh.
Man, the Podgator.
Wait,
that's three.
That's four. I don't know what... Podgator. I don't know what you're saying.
I think your Podgator is anticipating the Tupelo L Trail and might have gotten a little ahead of things.
Hiccup.
I don't know what he's doing.
What's going on.
Jeez. Okay. I have to work with Podgator. I'm telling you what,
though. I'm still thinking about those brownies. I'm glad I didn't know about the brownies because I am trying to make a way in, but I bet they were good.
Yeah, she brought those Rolo brownies the other day. I had a couple of those.
Yeah, were you here when those came?
Apparently, I might have been.
Friday.
I was here, but I might have been
a couple weeks ago.
And I scored some brownie points with the wife, wink, wink, because I brought one home to her, because she loves Rolos.
We got more jokes.
You know what?
Literally. Literal brownie points. Oh, man, we got brownies at home. My wife made brownies last night.
You know, the great thing about having me here is, like, you have W, Derek Russell, and M, Scott Morris.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why do people want to...
For me?
We used to have C. Todd Sherman.
Yeah,
what's up with that?
C. Todd Sherman.
Story time.
Dang pretentious journalist.
You know what?
I should be B... What?
It's here. A little bit... I've always been Scott, and my first byline was Scott, but when I moved down to South Alabama to work... there's a guy in the market who was already there who was Scott Morris. And so I put the M there.
Not enough room in this market for two Scott Morrises.
Well, I just figured, you know.
Just put the M there to distinguish yourself, and it stuck.
And it stuck. And it's also a little bit of a literary affectation on my part as well. Okay. I don't mind.
I want to say Derek has a similar story. Like, there's another Derek Russell, but I can't remember.
I don't know. I remember he told us for a while that W doesn't stand for anything. He just added it, that he doesn't really have a middle name. And then one day, Rod was passing out the paychecks, and he wasn't here, so he said, take this to give to Derek. And I
had
looked
at
the name, and I was like, you lied to me this whole time.
Usually he tried to play it off. Like, what?
You're going to go with B. Wayne? B. Wayne Locke?
B. Wayne.
I like it.
B. Howard. B. Harold Locke.
B. Harold?
That was my granddad's name. Harold.
Harold.
So.
Well, my dad was Mickey at one time. He's Mike now, and so I'm Michael Scott, and they always call
Michael
me Scott.
Michael Scott? Okay,
yeah, exactly. You know, there's a guy whose publisher's name is Scott M. Morris, and he used to live over in Oxford.
Well, that's confusing.
And one of his books came out, and I was at a bookstore, and they said, oh, Mr. Morris, you have a book coming out. I said, no, sorry, that's not
me. I'll take the royalties, though.
Was there a commercial appeal guy? Scott Morris?
No, this guy, he used to teach over at Ole Miss. And
no, I mean, I think there's another. There's a guy at the commercial appeal.
You're interrupting my story. I have more to it. This might be why I don't get invited back. I don't want to come back. They keep interrupting my stories. But what I'm saying is I met him.
I can turn your microphone off.
I know, but I met him at a workshop, and I told him that story. And he said, well, when I first moved to Oxford, my neighbor came over and said, do you commute to Tupelo each day or not? So... I don't know
nice.
If that's worth
coming. Nice. So
nice.
You're famous.
I'm quasi famous. I'm famous in relation to some other famous guy.
There you go.
Hey, what movie we got tomorrow?
Oh yeah, we're doing. You'll be back tomorrow.
Sully, I'll make tomorrow. This podcast will be great. Today, mediocre, but tomorrow, great.
Sully. Tom Hanks.
Aaron Eckhart. Laura Linney, if you're interested.
As somebody has pointed out, don't travel with Tom Hanks.
You'll
end up crashing in a plane or something.
Well, actually, at least this time, like in Castaway, he was the only survivor. In this one, they all survive, as you know, because it's based on real events.
Well, he got better at flying planes, I guess.
He did. Or pick and roll. Picking scripts, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, today's show is brought to you by Shoppers Value Foods. You can find the ingredients for the recipes in today's food section at Shoppers Value. The Palmer brothers have worked hard on improving every area of the store to make customers' experiences even better than before and to save them money on quality name brand products. Visit the locally owned grocery store on East Main Street. You'll love the look, love the prices, and get helped by the same people you knew at Palmer's. And that's it. We gets to go. Thanks for joining us, Scott. Thanks for filling in.
That's a good job, happy
to
Scott. Do it.
I've got other work to do, so I'll move on to that now, I guess.
So do I.
We'll have you back. It was good. You did good.
You know, stroke my ego. That's fine.
Your ego doesn't need help. I have to say, I know it needs some help.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.